Welcome to the Instagram stories for Wednesday, February 18th. I'm your host, Daniel Hill. Before we get into the main news and strategy part of today's episode, exciting news. The show got a new review. Here it is.
Love this. I absolutely love Daniel's show. It's the first thing I listen to every morning. I work in social media and I greatly appreciate his summary of information from various sources and keeping things light and a joy to listen to. I also appreciate that when I had a suggestion to make about my experience listening to the show, he not only answered, but the issue was quickly resolved. Would totally recommend to anyone who works in marketing or social media or just likes to create content on social media. 5 stars. Happy Quo.
Thank you so much to Happy for that review. If you are listening to the show and you've been enjoying it for a while, but you haven't left a review, I would really appreciate it. The best place to do that is in the Apple Podcasts app. You can do it if you don't use Apple Podcasts. That's totally fine as well. The link to do it is in the show notes, or you can just search for the Instagram stories, social media news. And when it takes you to the Apple Podcast page, you can log in and leave a review, even if you don't have Apple Podcasts. Today on the show, we're going to talk about a landmark trial that's happening over social media addiction claims. A huge group of parents, teens, and school districts is taking on all the social media companies in open court, accusing the tech giants of intentionally designing their products to be addictive. The CEO of Instagram, Adam Mosseri, was recently on the stand, and we will talk about what he said, as well as what is in the actual U.S. government filing. It's got some very incriminating quotes. I'll share those on the show. Additionally, we'll hear from a creator who went from 2,000 followers to 1 million followers over the course of 2025 and exactly what he did to achieve that, all focused around series. We'll also hear from the YouTube team talking about their in-app editing for shorts on Android. Don't worry, coming to iOS soon, as well as some other things they've been developing. And after the music, I will do Wednesday Waffle, where I talk about a topic that may or may not be related to social media. All of that plus more on today's episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back. Let's get into the news. A major trial has kicked off in the United States in Los Angeles Superior Court. Hundreds of U.S. families are alleging that Meta, Snap, TikTok, and YouTube all harm children. The plaintiffs allege that once young people are hooked on these platforms and their algorithms, the young people fall prey to depression, eating disorders, self-harm, and other mental health issues. Approximately 1,600 plaintiffs are included in the proceedings involving more than 350 families and 250 school districts. There is a quote from the founder of the Social Media Victims Law Center. His name is Matthew Bergman, and he said, quote, "The fact that a social media company is going to have to stand trial before a jury is unprecedented," end quote. In the legal filing document, which I will link to in the show notes, there are quotes from internal Meta researchers who explain exactly what they have found from doing their work inside Meta. In this document is a quote from Meta researchers where they say, quote, "IG is a drug. We're basically pushers," end quote. They then go on to say, quote, "Teens are hooked despite how it makes them feel. Instagram is addictive, and time spent on platform is having a negative impact on mental health," end quote. So clearly, researchers inside Meta know that Instagram is problematic. Further down in this legal document is another quote between two Meta UX researchers who said, quote, "We're basically pushers. We are causing reward deficit disorder because people are binging on IG so much they can't feel reward anymore. Like their reward tolerance is so high. I know Adam Mosseri doesn't want to hear it. He freaked out when I talked about dopamine in my Teen Fundamentals Leads review, but it is undeniable. It is biological and psychological. The top-down directives drive it all towards making people keep coming back for more. That would be fine if it's productive, but most of the time it isn't. The majority is just mindless scrolling and ads," end quote. Don't worry, I will link to this massive document so you can read it for yourself. The head of Instagram, Adam Mosseri, took the witness stand earlier this week and said, quote, "I think it's important to differentiate between clinical addiction and problematic use," end quote. That same attorney that I mentioned earlier, Matthew Bergman, who is from the Social Media Victims Law Center, said in response to what Adam Mosseri testified, quote, Adam Mosseri's testimony under oath today revealed what families have long suspected. Instagram's executives made a conscious decision to put growth over the safety of minors, end quote. The CEO of Meta, Mark Zuckerberg, is slated to take the stand as well. I will keep you up to date on this trial. Now, let's move on to the Instagram strategy portion of the episode. There is a creator named Evan Cooper who has grown his account from 2,000 followers to over 1 million. Here's the clip on exactly how he did that.
I grew my Instagram account from 2,000 followers to 1 million in a year and a half, and here's how I got there. The first thing I did is I had a lot of good series. I had a Trying New Things series. I had a Traveling Across America series. I've had a Foster Puppy series. Having a captivating series is such a good way to grow your audience. And I would do this by using Instagram's tools. I would actually schedule out my reels so I would be consistent without burning out. Being consistent is infinity more times important than posting at the perfect time. And the second thing I did is I really paid attention to my creator insights. I would see what people were liking, sharing, and commenting the most, and I would really hammer down on that format and do it until it quit working. And the last thing I would say is I stay completely authentic to myself. I've turned down quite a few opportunities as far as financial and just cool experiences in general because it wasn't true to who I am. Being authentic is your superpower. There's nobody in the world that's like you. If you can fully be the person you are offline, online, your audience will be able to tell and they'll be able to resonate with you so much more.
I love that he tried so many different kinds of series, but let's be honest, making a series is a lot of work. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear from the YouTube team with their latest updates, especially around in-app video editing, as well as the Wednesday waffle. Stick around. Welcome back. Let's get into the YouTube news. What the team has been working on this week has three specific components, two of which are not that interesting, and one of which is. Here's the clip.
Gifts and Jewels are launching in Canada. As a refresher, gifts are a fun and interactive way for viewers to express appreciation for creators during vertical live streams. Jewels are digital items that viewers can purchase to send gifts, and creators earn rubies based on the jewels that viewers redeem for gifts. The goal is to create a new way for creators and fans to interact while opening a new monetization stream. We'll leave more information below, but let us know if you have any questions. Moving on. Up until now, on the Studio Mobile content page, Shorts appeared in a list format in the same style as long-form videos. Now, Shorts will be displayed in a grid format in the same way they appear on the YouTube main app. Creators have the option to switch their view back to list format by pressing the list view icon in the top right corner if they prefer. Let us know if you have any questions. Next, you can now easily edit your individual video clips in context with other elements like audio, video, and visual overlays in your content. You can make precise adjustments and edits to the timing of each clip with zooming and snapping, rearranging or deleting clips to create a rough cut, adding music, time text, and sticker overlays, and previewing your short to help you better tell your story. On Android, you can easily split videos into different segments and slip edit clips based on a fixed time duration to allow for more control during the editing process. The team plans to bring split and slip editing to iOS in the future. These are the first of many improvements planned to streamline in-app editing for Shorts, so stay tuned for more. And that's it for this week. From the creators of YouTube to YouTube creators, we'll see you next week.
Nice to see YouTube improving their in-app video editing tool. I think it is really important that we have as many good video editing tools as possible, so this way we don't have to pay for extra apps. Okay, that is going to do it for today's social media news and strategy. If you want to hear me talk about a slightly different topic that may or may not be related to social media, something I call the Wednesday waffle, stick around after the music.
I'm not yet a member of the Instagram team, but my podcast covers many Instagram themes. But the name, image, logos are trademarks of Instagram and the LCC in the USA and every territory. Everything I publish independently until Zuck returns my DMs and starts to pay my salary. Not sponsored or endorsed, no lies, no fallacies. I use their logo with permission. Not malicious or callously, no trademark violation, filling all criteria. Follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Daniel Hill Media.
Oh, hey, thanks for sticking around to hear me talk about something else. I do a lot of public speaking. Obviously, you listen to my podcast in my congregation. I do a lot of public speaking, but typically that is around serious topics. I feel like I have a lot of things to say that don't necessarily fit into the social media or tech category. I don't always want to talk about congregation things. I have other interests. And so I've started doing stand-up comedy. If you have never tried stand-up comedy, I will tell you that it is one of the hardest things in the world to do. But if someone laughs at what you say, it is positively the most gratifying thing that you could ever possibly experience. I will say that the first time you go up there to do stand-up comedy, for instance, at an open mic night, it is 100% terrifying. But once you survive that first terrifying moment and you get down after 2 or 3 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever, you realize it's only going to get better from that point. One of the things I really enjoy about public speaking and specifically stand-up comedy is that you have to communicate an idea in a way that you can be sure the audience receives it. If I communicate an idea through this podcast, I really have no way of knowing whether or not the idea came across clearly. You might listen to it and then think, what is Daniel talking about? But if we're in person and I'm doing public speaking, I can see based on the facial expressions of the audience and how they react, whether or not they're following what I'm saying. I really know that what I'm saying is coming across if they start laughing, but it's such a different skill in terms of communicating information, like I do in the congregation public speaking, or like I do on this podcast, and making someone laugh. Those are two entirely separate skills. Making someone laugh requires a little bit of communicating information, but more making that information be funny and humorous in a way that appeals to that person. And every single person has a different sense of humor. I never really thought about this too much, but I have a friend who was telling me recently about a skit that he saw on Saturday Night Live. And I told him, I don't really like Saturday Night Live. I'll be honest, I would say 10% of the time I find what they do on Saturday Night Live funny, and the other 90% is just not funny to me, and the skits are too long. And he said, yes, that's by design. And I was so confused that I was like, what do you mean that's by design? And he said, oh, well, say they have 10 skits in a night on SNL. Each one of them is designed for a slightly different kind of sense of humor. So over the course of the whole episode, they will hit on something funny that you will like, but most times it will not hit your sense of humor. And in that moment, I had a mind-blowing realization for why I've never found SNL funny, or why certain people might be into my kind of humor and other people are not. When I do stand-up comedy, though, I love to hear other comics. And when I find someone who has a similar sense of humor to what I find funny, it is the best thing in the world because I know that I can have a connection with that person based on having the same sense of humor. So I will say, if you are interested in public speaking, if you've ever thought about doing stand-up comedy, write something down that you think is funny. Go out there. It'll be a horrible, terrible, bombing experience, but I promise you it will get better and you will find other people who have the same sense of humor as you. Okay, thank you for listening to me talk about a topic other than social media. If you guys send me a DM, I will send you a clip of me doing some stand-up comedy and you can tell me if you like it or not. If not, totally cool. Thank you so much for listening.